Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, a good time to call is like right now. 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to stay tuned to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. That intersection of the basic gospel with everyday life, boy, do we see that in the Christmas story. Yeah. I mean, here people are just going about their daily lives, and all of a sudden God shows up in the form of a baby and with angelic announcements and just, just really turned things upside down, and folks started to talk, is this baby really the Messiah? And that carried on all the way through Jesus' life. But I love how the writer of Hebrews kind of positions this story in terms of Christ's mission. In chapter 10, starting in verse 5, therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. That's the Christmas story. That's that body that God the Father had prepared for Jesus Christ to inhabit. The day when Jesus, God, became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Christmas, and that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. He goes on to say, with burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. Then he said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. So why did Jesus Christ enter into our world? Why did he intersect with us? To do the will of his Father. And that will, down in verse 10, and by that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. He did all of this for us so that we could be made holy, set apart, so that we could once again enjoy a relationship with God the Father. That's why Christ came. And I love this passage in Hebrews, and because it really, it doesn't put a new spin on the Christmas story. It just gives some substance to the Christmas story. It fills out a lot of the pieces so that we can see what God was really getting at when he came to Joseph and when he came to Mary and when he sent the angels to the shepherds to talk about this Jesus. This tells the story of why Jesus came, and it's an incredible story as it relates to us. He sets aside that first covenant to establish a brand new covenant, and it's in this covenant, this will of God the Father, that we are made holy through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ once and for all. That's good news.
Yes, it is. And this is Basic Gospel, everybody. You found it on your radio dial, and we're glad you did. We hope you'll be a part of it. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, perhaps what Bob Christopher's been sharing just from the last couple of moments, 1-800-677-9377. That, of course, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. I want to hear from you right now. The lines are open. Plenty of time on the clock. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, I was going to kind of piggyback on that as far as being made holy. You know, that's what God said. So that's truth. If we've come to Christ by faith, we've been made holy in his sight. But we don't always feel holy, and we certainly don't always act holy. So that's where a lot of people have struggles with this particular verse, because it doesn't seem to match what goes on in their everyday lives.
Yeah, we are so behavior focused. All we can judge, and there's a key word, judge, is how I think I'm doing. And I always compare myself against you. Hopefully I'll look better than you. But if I don't look better than you, or if I look in the Bible and look at the standard of perfection, I can't, and I'm looking behaviorally, I cannot believe that I've been made holy. And the reason I can't believe is because I'm not looking at Jesus. I'm not considering what he did, who he was, why this Christmas story is so important. It's not just the Christmas story. It's not just Jesus being born. He had to start someplace. And he started there, and he did the Father's will all the way through being resurrected. And then he sends the Holy Spirit. That's why this new covenant is life-changing, because it gets our eyes off of us and gets our eyes where they belong, onto Jesus.
Yeah, so as far as being holy, that's just truth.
It is.
And if God has declared us as holy, then guess what?
We're holy.
We are holy. We may not feel that. We may not act that. But that doesn't change the truth. And that's where we have to press this gospel message to its ultimate conclusion. And when we recognize that, that despite of what I'm going through in life, despite of the thoughts that are racing through my head that I know aren't holy and the actions that I do that aren't holy, that still does not negate the fact that God has declared me to be holy through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Something was done to make that possible. And what was done was through Jesus. He died in our place so that we could be set apart. We've asked folks, you know, if you've been given the holiness of Christ, how holy are you? Well, it's pretty holy, isn't it?
And
that's when this gospel message gets mind-boggling. But if we will take it to its ultimate conclusion and recognize and embrace and rest in this truth, it will change our lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, 1-800-677-9377. Come on in, join the conversation. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. We'd love for you to join us by phone. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Got a question from our friend Kelly in Tampa, Florida, concerning 1 Peter 4:17. She says, I've been trying to understand the intent of Peter's instruction in this particular passage. Again, 1 Peter 4:17. He speaks of the judgment of believers in verse 17, and more so in verse 18, when he begins with, if it's hard for the righteous to be saved. There's some confusion with this, as it seems to conflict with the truth that we're saved by grace through faith. Could I get a little clarity with Peter's statements and intent? As always, your time and instruction are most appreciated. That's from Kelly in Tampa, Florida.
Well, Bob, that's a wonderful question, and certainly this particular passage in 1 Peter chapter 4 is one of those confusing passages. What in the world is Peter getting at? But with everything, we need to look at particular verses in light of its overall context. And I think context here is so critical because Peter is talking about suffering. That's what this letter is about. He looks forward into time and he recognizes based on what's currently happening in his life and around the world at that day that Christians are going to suffer. Persecution is up ahead. And so this letter is meant to help prepare believers' hearts for that persecution. And what he's basically saying is that that persecution, that suffering is this judgment. It's a judgment of the world against believers. That's what this passage is all about. And why I think this is significant, why I think this whole letter of 1 Peter and actually 2 Peter as well is so important to us is because it brings us right back to the necessity of knowing the basic gospel message. Peter says in these letters that, you know, he is going to remind them and reteach them and just bring them back to the basic truths of the gospel. Why? That's the very truth. Those are the very truths that will enable us to go through persecution, knowing that God is with us, that God is for us, that God can lead us through to the very end. That's why it's important for us to know this basic gospel message, that our sins have been forgiven once and for all, that we have been born again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we are declared to be living stones, a part of the body of Christ, priests in God's household. That's who we are as believers. That equips us for anything this world throws at us, and that's the judgment that Peter is talking about here. And that's why, you know, a lot of people who give lip service to Christianity, you know, they were born in a Christian household, they went to a church, they joined a church, they go to church every Sunday, but when things get tough, they abandon that background. Was their faith genuine? Was their faith real? Obviously not. They sought answers elsewhere, but they gave lip service. They talked the talk, but it wasn't real in the heart. And so when trials and tribulations came their way, what was really in their heart was revealed. Those trials and tribulations pressed the truth out of them. And that truth at that point was, hey, you've never truly believed. You've never truly come to Christ by faith. You have never received him. You've never been born again into this living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we're in this world. We're going to face trials and tribulations. Peter and Paul and James and the writer of Hebrews, we're all in harmony on this issue. As believers, we're going to face persecution. Count it all joy. Go through it, recognizing that you're going to see that your faith is genuine, and that faith is going to be matured in you, and you're going to find real hope in this world in Christ Jesus.
Yes, indeed. Well, Kelly, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone during the time that we're actually on the air live, we encourage you to drop us an email if you have a question. You can do so by going to our website, basicgospel.net. Again, basicgospel.net. We'll be glad to address your question on a later edition of Basic Gospel. A quick reminder also that available now for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel is our booklet called Forgiveness, the Door to Life. And we'd love for you to have a copy of it. To make your gift and request your copy, simply call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828, or visit us online at basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. But again, a gift of any amount this month to Basic Gospel, the booklet Forgiveness, the Door to Life, is yours. Well, Bob and Richard, another question. This is from Carlos, who writes to us from El Paso, listens to our longtime affiliate KELP. Says, is the darkness of Genesis 1 the same as the ninth plague and in Matthew 8:12? I ask this because particular occurrences bring to mind a very tangible, almost physical quality. Am I mistaken? Thank you for all that you do to ensure that believers are well fed on the Word of Life. That's from Carlos in El Paso.
Well, thanks, Carlos. Thanks for writing. And I'm assuming that he is talking about Genesis 1:1 and as it goes into that second verse where it talks about in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That was before the whole creative process mm-hmm. began. So I don't think that correlates in any way, shape, or fashion with the plagues that he was mentioning.
I agree, because if the plagues that are mentioned later were this kind of darkness, then the whole universe would be gone. There wouldn't be anyone suffering from the plagues because there would be no universe. This was a complete emptiness, a void. God spoke stuff out of nothing into something. What he does with the plagues is a very different situation.
Yes, indeed. And those plagues, like in Exodus, to harden Pharaoh's heart, had a purpose behind them, mm-hmm. and that was to set the captives free, the people of Israel, so that they could go back to the promised land, so that they could set up their nation there and could be governed by God through the law. And all of that was to bring forth Jesus. I mean, the whole point of God choosing Israel was to bring Jesus into this world. That's why Matthew starts the way he starts his gospel account, with the genealogy of Jesus, going all the way back through that bloodline. And so we see that that was God's ultimate purpose. And part of making that a reality were those plagues to harden Pharaoh's heart, to bring him to a point where he would say, let those people go. And he says, yeah, get out of here. And that was all part of God's plan. And as far as Jesus was concerned.
And it's the same at the end. Absolutely. All of the plagues are to reveal Jesus. So when he comes, that's set up properly.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks, Carlos, for your question. We appreciate hearing from you.
Let's go to Brad and talk with him, listening to us in O'Fallon, Missouri. Hi, Brad.
Hi, you guys. Wonderful to talk to you. I've been thinking about this question for about, 4.5-5 hours today. And you guys are always fielding questions concerning coming from this there's two sides most churches and believers fall into, one of two camps, either Calvinism Reformed or either Arminianism. I happen to believe basic gospel has taken me to totally out of both of them. And I find that the there's a lot of what seems to be truth on both sides. But when you look at the crux of the real issue of that council back in 1610, number one, both of them were viewing salvation, as many people do today, from man's viewpoint, not Jesus's viewpoint, not God's viewpoint. And the other issue is their error is stemmed from this beautiful thing you've been talking about, forgiveness, that door to life and freedom, because they don't understand reconciliation. They don't understand, yes, taking away a sin, but God has dealt with and he deals with our sin in saving us as we increase and our flesh decreases. We're actually, when we say yes to righteousness, we're saying no to the flesh. And that's that growing in grace that deals with this propensity and ability to sin that's never going to go away till we get resurrected bodies. Could you all discuss that between yourselves, maybe give a more fresh look? I mean, you're doing it, but for the people, because to understand the gospel in its fullness, starting with reconciliation and forgiveness at the cross and coming forward to resurrection life, it all has to tie together, and so many people drop the ball at really what's going on.
Well, Brad, thanks for that. Thanks for that question. And it is a significant issue that I think we all need to face. There's this two camps, kind of two pools of water, and they just kind of circulate, and, nobody goes anywhere. But there is a way forward, and it's to kind of leave the argument behind and say, well, what does Jesus really think? And what is his purpose for us? And that purpose is life, for us to experience life. And we get bogged down because we keep thinking about sin. We keep thinking about the sin issue and how to clean up the flesh and how to stamp out sin in this world and to make everybody moral and all of those sort of things. And we're barking up the wrong tree. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We need to be at the tree of life, and that's Jesus Christ himself. He's already dealt with sin, and if we will learn to abide in him, we will see his life being lived out through us. And that is not a life that has sin in it at all. That doesn't mean that we're going to become perfected, that we will reach sinless perfection. It just means that in him there's no sin at all. So if his life is being lived out through us, then we already have the answer to sin. It's Jesus. It's Jesus through his death. It's Jesus through his burial. And now it's Jesus in his resurrection. And in his resurrection, he's now come to live inside of us. So we can count on that. So God made it abundantly clear that in reconciliation, all obstacles were removed. There's nothing hindering us from allowing God in Jesus Christ through the Spirit to live his life out through us. There's absolutely nothing hindering that. Sin once did, but in Christ that's been removed once and for all, and now we simply need to learn how to abide in him and experience this life to the full. That's the whole reason Jesus came, to take away sin, to set us apart as holy, so that we could receive the very life of God in Jesus Christ. That's what this gospel message really is. Like I said, we get bogged down, we get pooled up into this reservoir of water that just becomes stale and stagnant because it's just talking about forgiveness and sin and all of those things instead of moving forward as a stream with life.
Yes. One other thing, if you could discuss on this segment or maybe the next segment, Richard talked to our mutual friend today, and I was talking to him last night. Richard gave a beautiful, beautiful explanation of these things in our lives that continually surface, resurface. They go away for a while, then they come up, whether it's feelings or fleshly attacks, and Richard had one of the most beautiful explanations to this dealing with the flesh. If Richard remembers it, could you guys discuss that, or could Richard discuss that? Because that's very important for believers to understand also.
Well, it gets back to exactly what we were talking about at the beginning, the fact that we've been made holy in Christ Jesus. We don't always feel that way. We don't always act that way, but that doesn't negate the truth. And so sometimes in our lives, we get so focused on what's going on in our minds or what our actions are that we forget the truth, don't we?
Yeah, we
forget that we're new creations, and we're holy in that new creation, and we're righteous in that new creation, and all the other stuff that detracts from that is in these problems with the flesh and all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, I honestly don't remember what I said, so you'll have to remind me. But
you told him about it being cancer, like a cancer that.
Oh, okay. Yes, now I remember that part of the conversation. Yes. Indwelling sin, the flesh, is like a cancer that is sometimes in remission. You're walking by faith. Jesus is your life, and you're moving forward and all of that. And then every once in a while, it comes back. It comes out of remission. And we try to attack the cancer, and what we need to do is focus on Jesus again so that the Spirit can put it back in remission. Eventually, yeah. We will be renewed. We will be restored. Our new bodies and all that indwelling sin is gone. But yeah, it's a never-ending battle, and thankfully it's not our battle. It's Jesus's battle, and he's already won it.
Okay, you guys are so wonderful, and Basic Gospel is so wonderful because it really is God's view, and it is basic, and if we stick with the basics, we can't go wrong.
Yeah. Well, Brad, thanks.
We'll talk to you later. Thank you very much.
Thanks for jumping on with us today. And Brad brings up the important word basic. That's our name, Basic Gospel. And, you know, most folks think of that word in terms of elementary or simple. But as far as the word is concerned, basic means those things which are of most importance.
Yes.
And Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is of most importance, utmost importance, as far as God is concerned. And yet we kind of gloss over those. We don't necessarily give them the same place of importance that God does. So I think to clear up confusion that we have, we need to get back to these basic truths and recognize the importance of them, not only as far as theology and doctrine is concerned, but as far as living them out on a day-to-day basis. Christ has forgiven your sins. He has set you apart as holy. This is basic, foundational, important truth that will rock your world and will change your life.
Yes,
grab hold of it.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, and we apparently have lost some part of the technical aspect of our broadcast, but perhaps if you're hearing this, friends, we need to keep the fact in front of you that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry. And if what you hear each day on this program is benefiting you, we need your help to keep the message coming. The message that God loves you and wants you to know the freedom and life that is yours in Jesus Christ and how it can impact your life today. That's why we're here every day. But it requires financial support to keep the message coming. That's why we offer resources like the Forgiveness Booklet. Now here's the fact. We need to see additional donations of $250,000 by the end of this month. We know that there are many of you in our daily audience who are able right now to step up with a gift of $250 and never even miss it. If out of the tens of thousands of you who listen to this broadcast, if only 1,000 of you would make a gift of $250, that will meet our need. Or if 250 of you will make a gift of $1,000 today or by the end of the month, well, our need will be met. Will you be one of those with a gift of $1,000 or $250? We need that kind of support from you right now. We also need that. We also know that every gift that comes in makes a difference, no matter what size. It helps and makes a difference. So please join with us with a special Christmas time gift today. Give what you can and see God multiply your gift. Whatever you can do, we need you to be a part of the ongoing support of Basic Gospel. And as a reminder, the booklet on forgiveness that we've been talking about, it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828 right now. That's 1-800-727-2828, or visit us online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net for the booklet, Forgiveness, the Door to Life, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. We hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to become a support factor for this ministry today. So for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the staff, I'm Bob Davis saying God bless you and inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.